Podcast 33 with British champion Chrissy Burton. So welcome to Podcast 33 and the second in our fighter series. We've had great responses and feedback on our talk with Double K's Charlie Boy Peters. We had so much fun doing it and recording it that we're going to continue with that theme and we're going to get to speak to the best British and European fighters. So our guest today not only celebrated her birthday this weekend, but she also fought at the Unleashed 4 event in Telford, where she defended her British title with a fourth round TKO. She's the British number one at 55 kilos and fights out of Chaos Gym. So ladies and gentlemen, I present to you Chrissy Burton.
Hello, everybody. Yeah, thank you for having me and thank you for choosing me to interview me.
Nah, we're mega excited to have you on. I last spoke to you after your victory at the last Super MTC when you fought against the French champ, Soraya Bouchery. It's been, you know, very exciting watching your continued success.
Thank you.
Sat beside me is my new co-host to the Fighter Series, David Chu.
Hey.
Hi, Dave.
Hey. We met each other at Nando's, didn't we?
Yeah.
After the weigh-in.
Highlight of fighting, I think,
Nando's. After the weigh-in.
Oh, yeah.
Well, when I first started training with these guys back in the days, that's what it used to be, isn't it?
That's it.
After every Saturday session, we'll go about 15 of us and we'll just walk into a Nando's.
I think it's everyone's tradition now. I mean, I even know what I'm having. I don't even have to look at the menu anymore. I'm like, chicken, sweet potato, rice, done.
There's this new style now. It's like four chicken breasts with skin on it. They said try something new. It's delicious.
Mm.
I just wanted to continue with the introduction. So an online blog said, which was just before your fight on Sunday. So looking forward to Sunday's fights. I have my eye on Chrissy Burton fighting out of Chaos Gym. For me, she's the next Ronda Rousey of Muay Thai, and it's a fighter that I'm very excited to watch. Her last two fights have been wars, in which she was victorious against the former English, European and world champion Alexis Rufus, and also French champion Soraya Bouchery, who was 54-4. Chrissy, who has expressed her desire to explode onto the European scene and fight abroad, will be one step closer to this dream if she defeats her opponent Helen Wilson of Headhunters Martial Arts Academy. So Helen Banshee Wilson is the UK number four fighter, British Muay Thai champion and Scottish champion. And she was going into that fight off the back of a loss against Russia's Marina Zueva in Portugal. So yeah. How did it feel defending your title?
Well, I'm always used to being the underdog. So, you know, the pressure's a lot easier, but this time it's like, the pressure was more so on me because I'm ranked number one, obviously, my first defence, and I had to go into the ring with that in my head, but it's a learning curve. You're learning to deal with the pressure now and everyone's expectations as well. So,
Preparation did you have to do? For viewers or listeners that are listening, that you can tell them about what you did to prepare for this fight?
Well, I prepare for
other than hard training and what would you say you've done?
Everything's the same, yeah. You know, training-wise. I'm always training hard, I mean. But what I tend to do is look at each individual fighter differently, you know, their strengths, weaknesses.
So you studied this
girl. Yeah, we always have a strategy to every opponent. I never go into the ring with no game plan whatsoever. I'm always, you know, I've always got something, some sort of plan before I get in the ring.
What was your game plan then?
Well, I didn't have a lot of footage of Helen Wilson. I just was going off what I've heard from her, really. And there's not really much footage on the internet.
Was she a puncher, kicker?
Well, she's very erratic, like left right sort of thing, straight punches, and I knew that she's very emotionally tense as well.
Yeah,
you know, in the ring,
so very unpredictable.
I'd say predictable
as well.
Yeah. But I kind of knew that she was gonna come forward straight away as soon as the bell went. I mean, this was her first A-class fight as well, so I have a little bit more experience in the way of, you know, round one is normally slower than all the other rounds and then picking up the pace. But obviously, I know I had to deal with her pace from round one, which was just all out there, really. So I just tend to hold back, counter, use the body kicks, try and move out the way, taper off, score the points, really.
And you won with a fourth round TKO. I was checking the...
She was quite open to elbows. I was landed elbows all the way through the fight. And I can't remember which round it was, but I cut her right on the eye with one of the elbows. And then there was quite a lot of blood coming from the wound. And in the later rounds, I landed some more elbows, which also opened up the cut. And I think I teeped her in the nose as well, which was, I think it was broke or it was bleeding anyway. And it was a lot of blood in this fight. I seemed to be covered it. It was like I had a spray tan of blood when I left the ring. But the ref stopped it in round four because, I don't know, she just seemed to tire and swooped her and she landed on her, right on her neck. And then she got up and turned her back and went to the corner. So he obviously just stopped the fight and she retired.
So was it satisfying to take the victory in the fourth? I saw from some of the historic wins, they've gone the five rounds.
Yeah. It makes a change. Normally, every one of my fights goes a distance, you know, when I win. I mean, I've only ever knocked anyone out once before, like clean out. So it was good to get another stoppage on the record.
Yeah, you wrote a lovely message on Facebook, you know, after the fight. You know, I guess there's a lot of emotions in the build-up to it, the actual fight, and actually winning. You know, how extra special was it for you?
Well, it was a good end to the year, really, because this year has been manic, really. I mean, as a mum, you know, travelling as well and leaving my daughter at home is quite emotional for me sometimes. Like, where was it? We went to Malaysia as well in May. And then I came back for 2 weeks and then I had to go to America. And then, so leaving my daughter for all those weeks was, you know, pretty emotional. So,
yeah, they say fighting sports are lonely. You feel lost sometimes, don't you? Especially when you fight abroad.
Yeah, I feel.
You feel very, very, very alone.
Yeah, it's like a routine when my daughter's around me, obviously, and then I go training, I come home, and then I'm with her again. And my day just rolls on like that. But when she's not around, I've got so much time on my hands, I'm like, now what do I do, sort of thing. But getting back to the fight and this end of the year, it was nice to win the British number one spot in February and defend it all in 1 year. It was pretty cool, really.
Yeah, and how did that compare to your victory over Soraya?
Well, obviously, Soraya is a lot more experienced than Helen, and she's obviously French number one, so that was a big fight for me and a big win, and obviously I'm very chuffed about that fight. And the Soraya fight was a lot different as well, I suppose. I had to train for her differently as well, because she's, again, a totally different fighter, and she's a counter fighter rather than an aggressive forward fighter. So I had like a few weeks to from Soraya to then train for Helen Wilson.
Did you know you was winning every round at the time when you fighting Soraya?
Soraya, no.
What were you thinking? Because it was like quite a tight tie. I could see you was win edging it, but I mean, like, what were you thinking while you was fighting her? Did you know you had to do a little bit more or sit back? Because I know
I think round one, and I had to go forward to press because she was holding back.
Yeah, you can see you're changing your game plan every round.
A lot of people
in the audience probably didn't see what was going on.
No, in the first round, she kind of waited for me, and we knew that because obviously I've met Soraya before in the amateurs a few years ago. And she just waited for me, and I knew that, so I thought, oh, I had to push forward, you know, just upset her pace.
Disrupt her rhythm.
Yeah. And then in the, I can't remember if it was second or third round, she started coming forwards, which was made it easier for me then, because I like to counter as well. So then I held back and started countering her, really. Yeah. So it's weird how it changed like that.
Yeah, it favours counter fighters sometimes when an opponent's aggressive.
Yeah, definitely.
Sometimes when you get two counter fighters, I think it's quite hard to fight, you know.
Oh, it can be a boring fight.
But it's the one who gives up or gives in.
Yeah.
Ends up losing, so it's kind of like a brain, you know, messes with your brain.
Yeah.
So I think that's what she's trying to say as well.
The thing is, me and Soraya are both sort of counter fighters, so before the fight we were like...
But you know what it is? I think she was just a bit slower. She wasn't as sharp. That's what I thought. She was like very one, she had like one gear.
I remember she got me with a leg kick. That's all I remember.
Exactly. Probably one shot. But the rest was like, she was on gear two for the whole five rounds.
Yeah.
Whereas you had like three or four gears, which I thought was like really, really, like everybody was talking about that fight in my gym, especially the girls.
It's good. I mean, I love, I just like to put on a good show. I mean, every fight I train for, I like to add something new to my game, really. Like try new techniques out that I've been learning, or I just want to put on a good show for people and show people that girls can fight, basically, and they can fight just as good as men.
Yeah, definitely. What did you think of the MCC show anyway? Did you enjoy
I really enjoyed the show. I had a really good weekend.
Yeah.
And the venue was quite magical, really, because it was really beautiful. Really good. Oh yeah, they did, definitely. 100%. I mean, I can't thank Phil Chu enough and Team Chu for all the help, and they're so nice and supportive and welcoming, and can't thank them enough, and I hope they invite me back.
Oh yeah, we've got another one in, is it March? It'll
be March.
Sometime in March.
When Matty's fighting as well.
Yeah.
Hopefully they'll get me on again. Fingers crossed.
Well, I remember I kind of asked you beforehand if you would be interested in a post-fight interview. And, you know, after you won, I totally didn't take into consideration that you just had this battle. And I saw you sitting down in the corner. I don't know if it was your coach that you were with, but I came over to you and it just occurred to me that you just come off the fight. And so, I apologise for just assuming that you'd be willing and ready to say a few words.
It was quite funny because I couldn't even catch my breath.
And I was like, Charlie, do you remember he's in the camera talking?
I know, it was quite funny because when I got out of the ring, I nearly fell out of the ring and into the curtains.
Well, it was my first time doing that as well. So I was, a lot was learnt on the day. You know, it's definitely an experience, because as someone doing the post-fight interviews, this time you can't just sit in the back. You actually have to watch the fights.
Because that
will shape how the interview goes, you know, and what the style of questions that you ask. How close are you with Iman Barlow, the pretty killer?
I knew this question was coming.
tell me.
Everyone asked me this question. I bet they ask Iman this question as well. My coach and my partner, obviously, is good friends with Mark Barlow. And I've known Iman, you know, a long time, since we were juniors. And we sort of just went our separate ways, really. And everyone's like, oh, when are you going to fight Iman? Or... Yeah. And you're going to fight Christy, but she's signed up to Infusion and she's sort of going in her own way and I'm sort of going my way. Mm-hmm. You know, I fight A-class and she does K-1, so
yeah.
I can't really see us meeting in a way, if that was the question.
No, I mean, it wasn't more, you know, when are you guys going to fight? But it was more, you know...
The relationship with her is, you know, we get on really well, and she just recently came sparring at my gym, you know, just to get some... sparring in, because obviously she struggles to sparring partners and so do I. It's hard to get the right you know, sort of size girls who just at our level, really.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in England.
But would you guys be in the same weight category? Would you fight would we be fighting at the same weight?
Well, we are ranked in the same weight category.
I see. Yeah, and I did see that picture that was on Facebook, the one where, you know, there's a few other fighters in the gym, but you and Iman were there.
Yeah, and yeah. I guess that's what, and it's good because since we've done it, we've got a lot more girls interested in coming to do some sparring as well now, and so I think it's sort of opened up something good in a way, because obviously I don't know what it is, but some gyms are a bit funny about sparring with other gyms. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
You know, some gyms do it all the time. But I know since my fight at the weekend as well, I've got a few other girls who wanted to come down and do some sparring. So I got something good out of it. And definitely got something good out of it when she came down as well.
Do you get more people, you know, trying to, you know, add you on Facebook or on Twitter? Or
I do get a lot of ads on Facebook.
Yeah.
So quite a few people I don't actually know. So quite a few have to be deleted a few times a week. But I've met doing this sport, I've met so many people that are going to be my friends for life. So that's part of the reasons why I did this sport as well, because just the social side of it as well. I mean, I've got so many good friends, get to travel so many different countries that I'd probably never be able to afford to go, you know.
So where's some of the places you've been? Because I know this is a topic that really interests you.
I haven't been to too many, but I've been to Thailand twice, Malaysia, America, Holland. Yeah, that's about it, really.
Very nice. And that's through
that's through fighting, yeah. Which I feel really lucky, you know, to be able to travel, and this is what my goal is now, is rank number one. My next step would be to fight more European opposition before I go on the world scene, you know, properly, to get some more ring experience again.
Yeah, well, one of my questions would be, you know, where do you see yourself in a year or 2 years? So I guess you kind of answered it partly there, right?
I don't know where I see myself, sort of thing. I'm just going to keep following the route that I'm doing and see where it gets me. So, but yeah, I hope, I'd love to, you know, I'd love to see myself on the world scene again and, you know, doing well, being a world champion again. That would be really good.
So what does that path look like to get there? What do you need to do?
To get there?
Yeah, I mean, how many fights does that mean and, you know, what?
Obviously, a lot of hard work again, but I mean, this is what I do and this is what I live for. So, you know, I'm prepared to do that, really. And my record isn't as big as a lot of the girls that I've fought out there. So I'd love to get my record a lot bigger and a lot more experience behind me before I start taking on big names.
Yep. So you mentioned you were a mother.
Yeah.
I was reading that you took time out during that period.
Yeah, well, I was fighting as a junior and then I stopped for a while. And then had a baby at 20, yeah. And then obviously just, you know, I just decided to go back into training and get fit again. Obviously, being a mum, you kind of let yourself go. You can let yourself go, just concentrate solely on your child. So it was good to, my training was to have my space and, you know, something to do, something that I could do for myself. And then suddenly I felt like I wanted to get back in the ring again. And
what was it like the first day you came back to training?
Pardon?
What was it like the first day you came back to training?
I can remember it was 6 weeks after giving birth. I started skipping. It was really pulling my abs. Obviously, I had no abs then. And it was really just painful, but I was determined to do it. And I remember as soon as I gave birth, I was straight on a like strict healthy eating regime, like I was fighting in a way, you know. But I think that's what motivated me to get back to normal and get fit, really. I'm lucky that I've got the sport that I can, you know, just go and do that. And I've got the gym.
Mm-hmm.
Very lucky.
Yeah, so how important is Muay Thai to your life then?
Very important. I mean, without it, I'd probably be lost because, you know, it's every day. I'm up the gym, I'm either teaching or
mm-hmm.
training. Without it, I'd be lost. I wouldn't know what to do with myself. I mean, I had an office job a few years ago and I completely hated it. Just stuck in an office. I was like, this isn't me. So, I know I'm definitely a fighter.
You mentioned something about you coaching as well. There was another article that I found when I was Googling you earlier on. It was something out of Wombat Sports, and a young girl from your gym, I'm not going to say her name, but, you know, they asked her who was her inspiration, but, you know, who do you look up to in fighting? And she says, that's an easy question. My coach, Christy Brereton, world champion. She's a very technical and powerful fighter, but also she puts on a good show. I would love to be as good as she is one day. And I just smiled when I read that. You know, it was a pretty cool thing to say.
She didn't tell me she wrote that until I read the interview and that she did. And I was really, you know, taken back by it. And I was really chuffed in a way because it's nice to be an inspiration to other girls and get them into the sport. And we've got quite a few girls in our gym. They seem to be doing really well. They're all ranked at their weight categories very highly. And it sort of just forms a chain in our gym with girls. I mean, we encourage boys just as much as girls to get into it, but the girls seem to just be coming through at the minute. And it's just nice because I like to look after them like they're my little sisters in a way. Make sure they do the right, you know, the right path, you know, don't do things too soon. Get lots of experience, like I did, and just jump straight in.
Well, what you say sounds very familiar to kind of the setup at Team Chu. You know, Phil, Matty and Dave, all brothers, then all their cousins and second cousins, and then that kind of family atmosphere. You know, you were saying that, like, your little sisters.
Yeah.
It's like that kind of feeling is very much nurtured at that gym. And you guys went and opened a gym in Kennington.
Yeah.
Where that specifically you could was for children as well.
Yeah, I think it's, as you know, everyone watching you fight, I think everybody wants to sort of follow your footsteps. And same with Christy, I bet, you know, it's just being role model for
the young kids, and they just want to do this sort of similar thing, follow your path. So it's a good thing as well, you know.
Yeah, it's nice because a lot of the girls that come in as well, they come in all from different reasons. You know, some for fitness, some have been bullied. I mean,
yeah, you meet so many different sort of characters.
And now they're like doing really well at school, athletics. It's, you know, benefiting them in other ways as well. So it's setting them up for life, really, which is really nice.
Yeah,
it's really nice to see.
Yeah, well, one section of the podcast that I enjoy doing with, especially the Muay Thai fighters, is taking a look into their life in Thailand, because I guess fighters that do Muay Thai at some point will get drawn over,
yeah.
You know, to the motherland, just to see what it's like to be part of the authentic. You just go, you know, does it really live up to its name? You know, what am I going to find out there? So you mentioned that you've been there twice. So why don't you tell us a bit more about your times in Thailand?
Well, my first time was, obviously, when I trained with a different gym when I was younger, and I was 14 and I had my first full A-class world title it was, fight out there, WPMF, and I won. But
Which gym was you training at?
It used to be a gym in Plymouth.
Oh, okay. But I mean, in Thailand, did you train in Thailand as well?
Yeah. I trained at Sassy Prapa gym.
Okay, yeah. How did you find that? Where's that?
Sassy Prapa, it's in Bangkok, right?
Bangkok. Takung's gym.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that gym because It was sort of, like you mentioned, family orientated as well, even though, you know, they're not family, but they treat each other as if they are, and it was really nice and welcoming.
Was you the only female there at the time?
At the time, I think, I can't remember, I think I was.
Were they shocked how good you were, you know, only at being at 14, you know, your first step in the gym, what did they say?
I can't remember, in a way,
did
but
they realize, I just like, how
remember
good you were?
Doing some, I remember a sparring session I did over yeah. there with one of the lads, just a bit of fun. And I remember just, you know, him wiping the floor with me in a way, but I just give it all, you know, my best. But I remember them all giggling as if to say, you know, I'm a girl fighting. It probably looks a bit strange.
Yeah,
to
they see it as really strange, I think.
Yeah.
Especially like blonde girl doing Muay Thai.
And being so good, I think that's the key thing.
Yeah.
I think one of the things that shocked me out there when I was younger as well is we were, you know, it was a big culture shock when you're young. You expect, I didn't know what to expect. It was like the heat to start off with.
Did it take long to adapt?
That shocked me. My first time, you know, I struggled a little bit with the heat and the time difference.
Yeah. How about
and
the clinch?
Then get for training early.
The clinch and stuff.
Go for long runs and... But then I adjusted as we got along, you know, as we went along. But my second time in Thailand, I was totally different. I knew what to expect and I enjoyed it a lot more.
Yeah.
And was that back to the same place?
I did visit Sathaprapra again, you know, just for a quick training session. But obviously, you have to go there if you're going to train somewhere, you have to go there for a lot longer, you know, just to get the feel of it, how it is properly. You can't just, you know, go in there for an hour.
Yeah, I remember one time we were in the Fairtex gym, and I've been about 6 times myself now with the boys going to Thailand. And I remember that in that Fairtex gym, there's, you know, rings side by side. There's about 10 or 12 of them. And I remember that, you know, after doing the grueling workout, you know, like 50 push-ups, this and that, and having your own... You know, we had like personal trainers in our group, and they would kind of walk around and do a bit of everyone.
Yeah.
And everyone was waiting for the end bit where they could, you know, do a bit of sparring.
Yeah.
Or at least I was, not to do it, but to watch you guys.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh yeah, you know, he tried to sweep me, then I did this. And, you know, everyone would have one little story about, you know, what they did with a trainer. He goes, oh yeah, I think Phil sweeps someone to the floor.
Yeah. So. Everyone just having their little limelight with them.
Because we turn up about, you know, 10 of us at the gym.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we all look different heights and sizes. But then it's, you know, I look like one of them that could potentially do something, but I was so lousy, you know. But it was good to see you guys. You know, I was like, yeah, I wanted to see how the coach would react when they see someone that has this skill.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this one, he knows.
Even then, it was still beginning, though, wasn't he?
Yeah, we're still beginners.
Yeah, they must deal with so many people.
Yeah.
Going in, and it must be like, yeah, another one.
Yeah, there's another one, yeah.
Yeah, just hit the pads, mate, go on the bag.
Yeah. Give him a certificate at the end, say, well done, off you go.
How did you find the clinch when you was there? Did you find that your clinch game got better? Because I know, obviously, in Thailand, their clinch is, like, amazing. And that's why a lot of people go to Thailand, I think.
I can't remember doing a lot of clinch, to be honest.
Do you clinch much in your fights?
I love clinch. Yeah. I love it. I love clinch and I love elbows.
You threw the French girl down, didn't you?
Can't remember. Rounds, I think. Honestly, can't remember.
Yeah, it's out on DVD actually, so you should.
I can't wait to see it.
Message Phil. It's actually out. It's been out for a week, so message him. Mm-hmm. He'll send you a link.
Yeah, I'll put the link on the website as well.
Yeah. No, it's a private link.
Oh, private only. Okay. Yeah, do you do a lot of self-analysis in our post-fight?
Like, what do you mean?
Like, after a fight, are you excited to go back and watch it, and then do you break it down?
I'm a big critic of myself for some reason. I don't like watching myself fight. I like to watch it, but, you know, I'm very critical I kind of like look at my faults and I beat myself up over it too much sometimes. I get myself a bit worked up, but I just want to, you know, do really well, be really successful, and you know, I tend to look at the bad points sometimes far too much and worry, you know, about, oh, what if I do this or what if I do this wrong. My coach and my partner, he has to deal with so much of my emotions before I go.
Yeah. But, you know, I don't think that's unique to top ranked fighters, right? There's always an element of self doubt. Yeah. Continuous, isn't it?
That's why she is number one. Because, some people find that they think they're good at one stage and they go to the next fight and then realise they're not actually that great. So I think it's good to like criticise yourself more than anyone else, really. So it's a good thing, I think.
Yeah.
Better than being over too confident.
I hate being too confident. I'm never too confident. I always never underestimate, you know, anyone. You never know who you're going in the ring with, so you've got to be 100% on the ball. Anything can happen.
Yeah, so your first fight then after having children was a gap of how long?
Oh, I think it was
a couple of years.
No, I think my first fight was on Infusion because I had a problem finding matches.
Yeah,
obviously because of my record.
Mm-hmm.
It was hard to match me with females. Obviously, I was been out the ring a long time, but it didn't really matter on paper. I still had more experience. So I remember being matched and then, I'm not going to mention any names, but the girl pulled out. So obviously I was fit and ready for the fight and desperate to fight. And she pulled out the day before. So then I took the Infusion fight. Probably shouldn't have done it, but at the time that was all I had, you know. Mm-hmm. So I did take the Denise Kielholz fight and at a bigger weight than I was walking around at, really. But after that, I think that was the best thing for me in a way, because it spurred me on to do well, and now I'm doing really well in my tie. So, you know, things happen for a reason. That's what I believe.
Yeah, and there, you know, when you type your name into YouTube, there are a few fights that come up, and that was one of them.
Yeah.
And, you know, she had huge legs, and she was the winner of a reality show, an Infusion reality series that they had.
You know, Denise Kielholz is very strong, and I didn't underestimate her at all. I was just so desperate to get back in the ring, and I was finding it really hard to find matches. I think it was within a year of having my daughter, and my body was still adjusting as well. I was really ill in the fight training before the fight as well, and I'd lost a lot of weight. Yeah. But obviously, I don't like to pull out of fights, and I don't like to let anyone down. So I just, you know, still went for it. But it was something different. It was a new challenge as well. I mean, K1 is a lot different, and with the throws being allowed on Infusion as well, the hip throws kind of threw me a little bit.
Explain a bit about that, because, you know, she was. You know, I didn't even know if that was legal, and that's why the referee right at the end had to come out and say, "Hey, by the way, those are." So explain that.
Well, it was kind of weird because the rules meeting, you know, we missed the rules meeting for some reason. It was a bit odd. I woke up for breakfast on the day of the fight, and someone said, "Oh, about the rules meeting," and I was like, "What rules meeting?" So I didn't really get informed about any rules. But and then obviously in the fight when she was throwing me, I didn't realise about the hip throws.
Is this Infusion rules?
Yeah, they're allowed. So obviously that scores just as much as a head kick or a body kick, you know.
Yeah.
She threw me on the floor, that just scores just as much. So, I prefer my Thai at the end of the day, and I'm probably going to stick to my Thai because, you know, I love my clinch and love my elbows. So I don't really want to take that away, to be honest.
It's a different rhythm altogether, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really weird. But obviously, it works.
Everyone always asks, what's the difference between K1 and Thai Muay Thai? What would you say it is, Christy? Obviously, apart from the scoring.
K1 is kickboxing.
Yeah.
You know, Thai boxing is Thai boxing at the end of the day. They're not the same things. So
which one is more popular then?
Obviously, K1. K1's more popular at the minute.
But there is like, more popularity going with Muay Thai.
Yeah,
it's nice to see it developing, you know, slowly and growing, which is nice because, you know, everyone trains so hard in this sport and, you know, it's a hard sport to crack. It's just like, you know, it's just as tough as rugby. It's probably tougher than rugby. And it doesn't get any recognition. And it's frustrating in a way because, you know, there's so much talent in the UK at the minute and, you know, all over the world. And it's a shame, isn't it? It's not an Olympic sport. Hopefully one day.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the list of sports that they removed from the Olympics and they add, you know, you wonder why Muay Thai is not there.
I think they should put, not Muay Thai, maybe kickboxing then, at least. That would make it more...
It would help
open the doors. Yeah, exactly, rather than just call it Muay Thai, because, you know, I think obviously certain countries will be more advantaged to it, I think.
Yeah. I think they should... you know, if it ever did come in the Olympics, it would probably have to be called something else, wouldn't it? Thai boxing would have to be called something different.
So who do you look out for in the Muay Thai scene? Who are your top-ranked fighters that you enjoy watching?
I kind of follow a lot of people. I follow a lot of female. On the UK scene, were you on about? UK scene?
Yeah, UK scene.
Yeah, UK scene, I mean... I do follow Jojo Calderwood, even though she's not in Thai boxing anymore. I mean, I met Jojo in the ring as a junior, and I got beat on a split decision. But I still find myself following her. She's gone to MMA and she's doing really well, and she's really successful. And it's nice that she's sort of my inspiration in a way, even though I fought her.
Yeah, are you following the Tough this season?
I do what. Tend to watch little bits of it, you know. I really hope she wins because she's a down to earth girl and she deserves it.
Yeah, because I've been following it this year. You know, I'm up to date on it. And the next match is her. She's fighting against Rose. You know, so anyone listening, if they want to timestamp this episode, yeah. You know, they're fighting, I believe, this week. And then, so she's very much in the. I think it's the quarterfinal stages.
That's good. She'll definitely beat Rose, I reckon. Definitely.
Yeah.
Other athletes that I follow, really. I love watching Jordan Watson. I love watching him. Rhys McAllister. I love watching Aman as well. She's another really good fighter. I love watching.
Yeah, we'll be having her here soon on the podcast.
That should be a laugh.
Yeah, definitely.
I'll be ready to listen to that one.
Yeah, well, I actually gave her a quick interview on Sunday. She was promoting an event, and I was doing a couple of interviews there, and so we got a couple of minutes to do a quick interview.
Did she giggle the whole time?
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. She was a laugh, and her mum was there too. She's lovely. So who's been your biggest inspiration?
My biggest inspiration? That's hard because I don't have a big inspiration. I mean, I take little bits from everyone, really. I just tend to follow quite a few fighters. I do love to watch Tiffany Van Soest. Since she's, you know, been really successful, I tend to follow her fights, and I find her style just...
Is that an American girl?
Yeah, I find her style really, really exciting to watch.
She's very, very jumpy, isn't she?
Yeah, but
bouncy,
she's
in and out.
She's very explosive and very quick and technical. I love watching her techniques are so clean, and she's always got something different to add to her fights, which is nice to watch. It's nice to watch girls, you know, throwing elbows and doing things properly.
All right, and when are you fighting next?
Well, probably we're looking at February, March. You know, I'm chilling out for Christmas. First time I've chilled out in a long time.
Yeah, man, you enjoy it.
Then I'm probably going to hit it hard in the new year. And I'm looking for new matches, European opposition in the new year. It would be great to get some more fights, definitely, you know, in Europe, or even if, like, bring them over here. Hint, hint, Phil Chu.
We hear that loud and clear. Yeah, talk to me about your entry song. What's your current theme?
I tend to change my entrance music. I don't know, I get bored of listening to the same tunes, and it was a shame because we were thinking of I love watching Kill Bill, the film.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking of that whistling entrance.
Yeah.
You know how it goes. I don't have to whistle, do I?
Yeah, it's got a very Tarantino style, that music. And,
yeah, and then the way the fight went at the weekend, I wish I'd had it now.
Mm.
You should come out with a Kill Bill outfit.
I already have a Kill Bill outfit.
That would be a good character for you.
Yeah, you got the blonde hair. The mask. Yeah,
that'd be good.
Yeah,
I would get you big fights. I'd struggle to probably get out of it though in time to get into the ring and stuff. But I was thinking actually Kill Bill colour shorts probably next for my next fight.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe yellow and black.
There's a website you can go to.
Go on then, plug your stuff, Dave.
So if you go to www.muaytaiworld.co.uk, email me and I'll get you a pair of shorts custom made for you. That's my website, by the way, Christine. Yeah. So if you ever see that around, that's my website. It's down at the moment, but let me know. Just give me an email.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. The reason I'm asking this is I think I usually have my own theme tune for the beginning of podcasts, but I thought for the fighter series, it'd be cool if like the intro music for each podcast is the
which one
is the the fighter's preferred song. So what would it be now for your next fight? If you were to fight today, what would your theme be? What would your tune be?
Oh, definitely the whistle song from Kill Bill. Oh, now.
Man, that's how we're going to start this podcast.
Just sums me up now.
It's going to be epic.
I can't remember what it's called. I don't remember what it's called, though.
You just need to type in Kill Bill, the first thing straight away. And there's that bang, bang, he shot me down.
It's not that one, it goes, oh, that.
Yeah,
that's
I know.
That's not it.
Hold on, let me do it. I bet if I do it right now.
It's kind of is it a Japanese sort of kind of?
It's like a Western kind of thing.
Oh, is that one?
It's like Kill Bill. I'm going to put quite a few. I'll put whistle. Here we go. Let's see if it's this one.
That one, that's it.
That's quite intimidating, actually.
That's scary.
People are going to think of that.
I think it's just the scene of it.
Yeah, and you should have the noise of the high heels as well, so it sounds like you're walking through with the high heels. But anyway, yeah.
It was really weird because I thought, of, you know, we thought about it and I thought, nah, it's too cocky, don't do it. And then the fight, you know, it ended it like it did. And then it's funny because Iman messaged me last night and she said, they should call you Kill Bill Christie. And that was just freaky because that's what we were thinking in the weeks, you know, prior to the fight.
You know, I think you should do it because, you know, the big characters that make a name for themselves, you know, whether it's the Diaz brothers or even Ronda Rousey, they all have this theme. And like, I guess the more extravagant or memorable it is, you know, the more that people resonate to it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the crowd remembered me, I suppose, from February show, and it was nice because when I was going to the ring at the weekend, I had a lot, you know, the crowd were cheering for me. It was nice to, you know, to be remembered. So, you know, and that's all I want with my fights. I want people to remember me as a good fighter, and at the end of the day, you know, like, she was good, she's technical, and that's all I want.
Well, that's, you know, it sounds like you got great, you know, great advice. You got a very solid head on your shoulders. And how can people find out more about you or get in touch, you know, see some of your fights?
Well, I tend not to upload my fights for some reason. I don't know.
Maybe not the fights, but, you know, what about Twitter and Facebook?
Yeah, you know, I have my athletes page. I'm not really on Twitter. I really slack when it comes to things like that, and I need to start pulling my finger.
Yeah, my advice would be, you know, to absolutely start that now. You know, do it slowly. But I think, just given the direction that you're going in, and, you know, there is kind of a niche market now for successful women Muay Thai fighters.
You know, yeah, and since I recently set my athletes page, it's nice because people can actually, you know, go on there to find out information about me and look at my fights photos without actually having to add me if they don't know me in person, which is nice. And it's nice because it's sort of like my little diary in a way. I can update people of what's going on, and people can buy tickets from me. So, yeah, it does work.
Do you also do one-on-ones as well, personal training for, like,
yeah,
so people want to do beginners, for beginner females? All levels.
And you know, I teach ladies.
What's the website called?
Fitness. I'm qualified as a fitness instructor as well, but I tend to use my Thai boxing background. Obviously, that's what separates me from all the other fitness instructors out there.
Yeah.
So, but you know, I love teaching. I enjoy it.
What advice would you give, like, you know, or mainly to females, like, you know, to starting off Thai boxing?
Just,
apart from the hard work, obviously, you know, what kind of advice would you
just
give
set goals and not listen to everybody else? You know, just set, if you've got a goal, just, you know, go for it and do it. Don't listen to other people who might get you down about it or change your mind. Just go for, you know, what you think and what you want. And just don't like doubters in a way. Yeah. I just tend not to listen to them.
Yeah.
That's something I've learned over time, not to listen to other people's opinions and just
don't wait for others, right?
And that's in, you know, that's in life in general, not just fighting.
Yeah.
Wise words from our number one champion fighter. You know, great work, Christy. You know, we love following you. Very, very chuffed to have you on the podcast. And, you know, we'll be following you closely, and hopefully, you know, we'll get you back on the show again.
Thank you very much, and thank you for interviewing me. And thank you for following me.
Let's go all the way in on this one.
All right.
Thank you.
Some of the smartest dummies can't read the language of Egyptian mummies on a flag or a moon, and can't find food for the starving tummies. Pay no mind to the youths, cause it's not like the future depends on it. We'll save the animals in the zoo, cause the chimpanzee, them a make big money. This is how the media pillages, on TV the picture is savages and villages, and the scientists still can't explain the pyramids. Evangelists making a living on the videos of ribs of the little kids, stereotyping the image of the images, and this is what the image is. You buy a khaki pants and all of a sudden you are say a Indiana Jones, and I tip out the gold and tip out the scrolls and even the bird bones. Some of the worst paparazzi I've ever seen and I've ever known. Put the words on this place that the world can see, and that's all that will ever show. So the ones in the west will never move east and feel like it'll be at home. Get tricked by the beast, but the way them a go flee when the monster is fully grown. Salamonic lineage where them still can't defeat and them coulda never clone. My spiritual DNA that prints in my soul and I will forever own, Lord. Are we born knowing all? We growing wiser? Are we just growing tall? Can you read thoughts? Can you read palms? Can you predict the future? Can you see storms coming? The earth was flat, if you went too far you would fall off. Now the earth is round, if the shape change again everybody would have start love. The average man can't prove up most of the things that he chooses to speak of, and still run research and find out the root of the truth that you seek of. Scholars teach in universities and claim that they're smart and cunning. Tell them find a cure when we sneeze and that's when their nose start running. And the rich get stitched up when we get cut. Wanna heal them broken bones in the bush with the wet mud. Can you read signs? Can you read stars? Can you make peace? Can you fight war? Can you milk cows even though you drive cars? Can you survive against all odds now? Bible, who wrote the Quran? And was it a lightning storm that gave birth to the earth and then dinosaurs were born? Who made up words? Who made up numbers? And what kind of spell is mankind under? Everything on the planet we preserve and can it. Microwave it and try it, no matter what, we'll survive it. What's you? What's man? What's human? Anything along the land we consuming, eating, deleting, ruin. Trying to get paper, what? Gotta have land, gotta have acres, so I can sit back like Jack Nicholson, watch play the game like the Lakers. In a world full of 52 fakers, gypsy seances, mystical prayers. You superstitious, throw salt over your shoulders, make a wish for the day, cuz like somebody got a doll of me, sticking needles in my artery, but I can't feel it. Sometimes it's like part of me, but I got a real big spirit, a fearless. Don't you try to grab hold of my soul. It's like a military soldier since 7 years old. I held real dead bodies in my arms, felt their body turn cold. Oh, why are we born in the first place if this is how we gotta go? Damn. Savali. Patience. Yeah.